96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Bringing the new FBI headquarters to Maryland, improving troubled neighborhoods. And are you looking for a job in Prince George's County? Those are just a few of the things we'll be talking about tonight with Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker. He's in studio with us right now. And if you have questions or comments, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR or follow us on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR. We will, of course, as we normally do, take as many phone calls as we can, so certainly the lines are open. Mr. Baker, good to see you again. How are you?
Good to be here, Harold. Thanks for having me back.
Busy time for Prince George's County. A very, very busy week. Let me start with the FBI bids, because the deadline is today.
That's right.
It is today. Briefly explain what that means in this battle for the FBI headquarters between Prince George's County and Virginia.
It's going to be a real telltale sign of how, who has the... who's leading in the effort to get the FBI, and that is there are three companies that are going to bid on the three sites. Depending on whether all of them bid on one site or all of them bid on all three sites, but the number of bids these company puts in will – so if we get two bids at Greenbelt and one bid at Landover and or two bids at Landover and Virginia only gets one, it means that people are more interested in developing in Prince George's County than they are Virginia. So it'll be it doesn't mean we have it, but it will give us a good telltale sign over the site they think is more likely to be selected by the General Service Administration.
The state of Maryland has put up more than $300 million in this. That's a lot of money.
Right. And the county's put up money for the infrastructure around it. We put up a lot of money for both sites in the county, because we think this is a great chance to land a $2 billion development. Those don't come around every day, and certainly nothing like what the FBI really brings, which is a consolidated office and the opportunity to have companies and businesses locate around it. So this is a really big deal. This will be bigger than MGM.
Are you nervous about the prospect, or do you think about what may happen if Prince George's County does not get the FBI headquarters?
I've been nervous from day one. Mm-hmm. Each step, though, I get more confident that I think it's coming to us. I think if you look at everything the FBI has said they wanted, the Obama administration said they wanted, we have in those two sites, near a metro station, in areas that are accessible to government employees. I think we've done everything that we possibly could, a commitment from the government as a whole. Remember, this is a site in the county. It's the first time in the history of Maryland where the state as a whole is saying we want it in this jurisdiction. Normally you'd have a fight between Montgomery County, Prince George's County, maybe Anne Arundel County. This is the first time in the history that everybody's gone there, and the congressional delegation has been fully behind it. So we're nervous, but we know we got great people like Senator Mikulski and Senator Cardin and Steny Hoyer that are fighting, tooth and nail to make sure, Congressman Van Hollen and Edwards. So we feel good about our chances.
I want to talk about your Transforming Neighborhoods initiative. You had an announcement today about its expansion, but even before we do that, briefly talk about it, because we know about it in the news business, obviously the government people, but there are a lot of people that just aren't really familiar. What is this program now?
This is our number one initiative, and we launched it almost, a little over 4 years ago. And the idea was there are six areas at that time in the county that were our most challenging. If you remove those six areas from Prince George's County, it'd probably be one of the wealthiest places in the United States. But they had challenges, but they also had opportunities. They were near the District of Columbia. They were near metro sites. But their challenges weren't just crime. It was lack of economic development, lack of access to government services, lack of transportation. And so the notion of the transforming neighborhoods was to focus on those areas like a laser beam, to almost give them their mini county executive in each one of those areas. And we did that by taking our deputy county administrator and saying, now you're in charge of the Suitland Coral Hills area. You're to make sure that services are delivered in a timely manner. You're to bring confidence back in the system. These 4 years, we finally got the data in that tells us we're making progress. So much progress in these areas that three of the original six areas are going to be graduated out, because we've seen changes in their graduation rate. We've seen changes in their public safety. But we've also seen changes in terms of the community stepping up and being able to advocate and demand services for itself. And but it's exciting. So much so, we've got enough data in now that we've been requested for the third time in a row. The Harvard group at National Association of County Administrators, counties, has asked Prince George's County to come back to Harvard and present to 20 county executives from around the nation on this innovative program and why it's different than what governments do around.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to Prince George's County Executive Rusher and Baker about all things Prince George's County. A lot of things happening in the county recently, and big changes ahead. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call. The lines are open. Let's go to Kai, calling from Maryland. Kai, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Happy Wednesday. Hello, Mr. Baker.
Hello.
My question is, with the TNI, the Transforming Neighborhood Initiative, there are nonprofit organizations that are in the Chapel Oak and Fairmont Heights area that are doing a really great work. And so my question is, how is it that those areas, that neighborhood, was not a part of the initial TNI project? And it doesn't sound like they will be a part of this second phase. Again, it's the Chapel Oak, Fairmont Heights area.
You know, thank you for calling in with that question, because it's one of my favorite. When we started the TNI initiative, almost no neighborhood or area wanted to be listed. They were afraid that if they were labeled in the TNI area that, you know, people wouldn't come there. It means it's bad. And we said, no, it means that you got great opportunities. But in the beginning, what we said was we were focusing on the areas that were unincorporated in the county. We have 28 municipalities. We were going to continue our work with the municipalities, but really the focus was on those unincorporated areas where the community as a whole, one of the reasons why those areas were falling down is community as a whole didn't know how to access government services. 4 years later, Capitol Heights, Fairmont Heights, which have great mayors and town councils, said, hey, we want to be a part of this. What we've said is that we're going to work with you. So some of the things, the way we've expanded to include residents from Capitol Heights and Fairmont Heights and other areas, Sea Pleasant and some of these other areas, was to say that part of our data that we use is truancy and dropout rates at schools. So kids who are coming from those affected areas in Capitol Heights and Fairmont Heights in our schools, we incorporate working with the towns in that area. We also decided that in those areas that are close and abut a city, when we're talking about economic development, we will also be working with the towns to make sure that our economic development works with them in terms of how we create job opportunities in the area. But the whole idea was to say these unincorporated areas which don't have a mayor or a town council that meet regularly with the county executive, that we want to make sure that they understand how to advocate for themselves.
Okay. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sheila calling from Hyattsville. Sheila, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you. Good evening. Yes, Mr. Baker, I was going to ask you about the unemployment rate in Prince George's County, and my specific question is, there's a website for Prince George's County Public Schools that I have been on numerous times, and right now I have pending status in three or four of the schools. The problem is that I need the job right now. And I called one of the schools and asked if they'd made their decision. And the answer to that question was that several of the PG County school public schools are closing, and they have to wait until HR gives them the information. So what is the holdup?
Prince George's County, we're very pleased that our unemployment rate, first of all, is about 4.5. So we're doing well in creating jobs. To the heart of your question, which has to do with the school system, if there's a way, I'm not sure, Harold, if there's a way that we can get the information of the caller, we can certainly
get. The producer can take our information.
We can get back and we can check into that for you. There is a proposal to close a number of schools in the county, and when that happens, and I'm just, you know, I don't directly control this, but when that happens, teachers who are moving from those schools have first right of refusal to the other schools that they're going to go through. But we can certainly get the information to you and make sure we get an answer for you.
Sheila, stay on the line. Our producer will get your information so that we can pass it on to Mr. Baker. So please don't hang up. And if we could have the producer pick that information up from Sheila, we would certainly appreciate it. I do have a question, and certainly we're going to continue the conversation about that. As it relates to the Transforming Neighborhoods Initiative, for example, Lanham being added, Forestville today.
Right.
In your opinion, what has happened where these neighborhoods have become troubled? And maybe this isn't a Prince George's County question. Maybe this is a regional question. Maybe this is a history question. But why did these neighborhoods get to a point where they needed to be transformed in the first place?
You know, Harold, that's something that that we looked at in the county, and there's a number of reasons. One is, and this is true of every place, maybe cities are the exception to the rules, but the first indicator that areas are going to be troubled is our school system. If you look at the schools in a neighborhood and graduation rates or promotion rates from the ninth grade to the 10th grade are starting to drop off, that's an indicator things are going in a bad direction. The other indicators is businesses start leaving. And then a third indicator, quite honestly, you look at health disparity. So a number of these things have happened over the years. The reason why some areas, like I live in Cheverly.
Well, hold that point, because I've got to take a break, but I do want you to finish that point, because I think that's critical that people understand kind of the genesis and where you're going, and I still have a lot of other issues we need to talk about, and we have phone calls. Linda in Landover, Miss Stinson calling from Clinton. Please don't hang up. We will take your phone call shortly. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Taking your phone calls even after 7:30 on Sirius XM, channel 141. So stay with us. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio.